Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Once again, that's the sound of rock cracking, and I have to tell you, we really got to look at something serious, because did you pay your taxes last week? Tax day was pushed off a couple days. To actually, it was April the 18th that was taxes were due, but April 15th is a date that sticks in their minds. So do you think it's time yet to start talking about abolishing the IRS? Hold on, Doc Holliday. We haven't even got tax reform. We never could get health care reform. What are you doing talking about abolishing the IRS? Well, listen to today's show, because we're going to have a flashback 2 years ago when I was actually running for Congress, and I was the only candidate out of 13 who said we should look at abolishing the IRS. And I had one of the most important tax people who knows what to do, because he introduced the fair tax in the United States Congress. His name, former Congressman John Linder, had him on, specially talked to him about what we would do if we abolished the IRS, how we do it. And so we're going to play on the second half of the show that interview from 2015, when I actually was a candidate for the U.S. Congress. And obviously I didn't win that race, but as we're talking about candidates for U.S. Congress, I do have to remind you, last week on our show, we talked about the district in Kansas where our new CIA director, Pompeo, was, he had to leave his congressional seat, so they had a special election, and it was just New York Times, all the liberal papers were playing it up like, wow, you know, this is going to stop Trump by, you know, the Democrats going to win this congressional seat. And they had all their eyes on it. And then we laughed because the New York Times had a headline about the GOP winning the seat, but they still lose. And what happened last week in Georgia, where a Secretary of Health and Human Services, Tom Price, won. I had a congressional seat. Well, now that he is Secretary Price, his seat was open, and they had an election. And again, a lot of candidates run. I know from experience what that's like. And lo and behold, they thought the Democrat, if he got 50%, then he would win it all out, and there would not be a runoff. And they thought there was a chance, because there was not a lot of Democrats running. One became apparently the front runner, and guess what? The money flowed into his coffers. Wow. He had almost $9 million raised for this special election. Now, that is crazy in any kind of any district anywhere for a congressional race. And I know in the race I ran, if somebody had $9 million, man, they talk about ads. Wow, that you could flood everything with that kind of money. And he did. And he didn't get 50%. His name is Ossoff. He's 30 years old. And I have to give it to the kid, man. He got out there and worked hard. And he has a chance to win if he keeps raising the money. It is a Republican district. And the Republicans ended up with the candidate, I believe, handle a young lady that's fighting for that seat. And all the Republicans said they're going to get behind her. You know, if that happens, it'll be hard for the Democrats to win, but not impossible. The election's coming up in June. But the Democrats are salivating at anything they can do and say, we've won. In fact, even if Georgia, when they didn't win 50%, it's got to go to runoff, they still said, if we won, we beat Trump. Well, if they keep keep winning by losing, then so be it. Let the Democrats, I love the way they're winning by the New York Times method, whatever it is, when they get beaten, they say the Democrats win. We need more of that kind of Democrat win. It's still, it's just really actually funny when you talk about that. But that was in the Georgia congressional race last week, special election, and it'll go to a runoff, and the Republican Party will get in and jump in there and get behind their candidate now, and we'll see what happens. But I don't believe the Democrat has near the chance of winning as he did when everything was split up, if he could have got 50% of the vote. Hey, there's another election coming up in South Carolina coming up soon, and there was an article called, "When Will the Democrats Win Again?" Well, that is a big question. You know, when the Tea Party got fired up after Barack Obama started spending like crazy, and right off the bat there, the liberal agenda was going full steam ahead. So what happened, you remember, the Tea Party got behind State Senator Brown there in Massachusetts, because what happened? U.S. Senator Ted Kennedy passed away just right after the after Barack Obama was elected, right after the inauguration, and therefore the seat was open. Everybody just thought it was going to be a Democratic seat, but no, the Tea Party and people got rallied behind Scott Brown, and he won the seat. Like he said, it wasn't Ted Kennedy's seat. It was the seat of the people of Massachusetts, and he won, and it shocked the whole political establishment. And that's what the Democrats want to do now that Trump has won. They want to shock the whole political establishment by someone winning one of these special elections in a Republican district. But it has not happened, and the chances of it happening are growing slimmer. We'll see. It could still happen there in Georgia. Could happen in South Carolina. But hopefully the Republicans are getting their act together. And that is one reason I wanted just to bring that message to you, because you're not going to hear that in the mainstream media very much. If the Democrats had won with 50%, you would be hearing it everywhere, shouted from the mountaintops across liberal America, from New York to California. And you can be sure of that. It would have happened. But now let's move on, because, like I said, an important part of this week's show is to realize what has been said about the IRS during the presidential debate in the primaries in 2015. Ted Cruz came out, and I believe he was the only candidate that said, let's talk about abolishing the IRS. And I had said that when I ran for Congress in 2015. And it is not something that's impossible. Some people go, oh, you can never get rid of it. Yes, you can. There's a better way. Now, if we're going to get rid of it this year before health care and getting rid of Obamacare, repeal and replace, or the tax, getting their tax cuts and that run through Congress, no, that's going to happen before anyway we talk about abolishing the IRS. But we got to speak about it so people will put it in their minds and realize it can be done. And I told you, when I was running, I interviewed the former congressman from Georgia. He was good friends with Newt Gingrich, still is. He's alive and well, and he's not in Congress anymore. But he really laid out the first way that you get rid of the IRS is you can have something like the fair tax. He's the one that put it up for debate, and we heard the bill introduced in the House of Representatives. Now, the fair tax has not gone like people wanted to. It has not picked up steam, but it's a way we can abolish the IRS. So there's ways out there. There's new technology coming, just like I mentioned on this show about health care reform. New technology like blockchain warrants, blockchains, and using computers, there's ways that we can make things happen and get rid of the IRS. We can do it when we look at new technology, new ideas, combined with things like Congressman John Linder talked about with the fair tax. it can be done, and that's what Doc Holliday wants you to understand. Dream and dream big. Is that not what we were told at the inauguration?
We must think big and dream even bigger.
Right on cue, the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. He's right. We must think big and dream even bigger. And that's why I'm telling you, we can abolish the IRS. Do not let that dream die. And let's get the fire burning on it. Tell Ted Cruz you support his vision to abolish the IRS. Let's get it talking. Maybe Donald Trump can take it as his own vision here in just another year or so. So don't give up on it. And the reason I don't want you to give up, because I want you to listen to former Congressman John Linder and my conversation with him from a couple of years ago. And we're going to play that in just a minute. Before we play that, let me remind you, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net, and I want you to understand that your help by purchasing books from my website at www.docholliday.org, and that's Holliday of two L's, H-O-L-L-I-D-A-Y. But it helps keep the show on the air, and we're glad to be a part of a new book called The Biblical Case for Israel. In fact, there's a prayer dinner that I'll be going to this week about how we can pray with the Jewish population and Christian population coming together to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And they'll have another one of the writers of that book, he wrote a chapter, be there at the meeting, and I'll be there and others. But I want you to know there's a book out there that helps you understand what's going on in the nation of Israel and around the world. People keep their eyes on the Middle East and Israel. And it's very important to know why Israel is so important as an ally to the United States. Barack Obama never could understand that, and he acted that way. But so make sure you get that book and be the first of your friends to get it by going to www.docholliday.org, or you can go straight to my website by going on looking at the cover of the other books like Bedrock Truth. Click on that, it'll take you right to my website, and you can order that or any of the books there that help promote the conservative viewpoints that all America needs. So please go there and help us out and order a book, and we'll get it shipped right out to you. Now, take a listen to this before we let you listen to former Congressman John Linder. Now that's the old Creedence Clearwater Revival tune, and singing "Don't Come Out Tonight, There's a Bad Moon Rising." And isn't it awful that your government, the Internal Revenue Service, can keep a fear in your gut throughout the year, and then April 15th comes and you got to run, and the government demands you get all these things together and forms together, and the time, the hours, the money spent of doing all this to just bow down to our government. Wow. But that's why I'm excited that I just know we can abolish the IRS, and there's things we can do. And I think there's some new things on the horizon with using blockchain technology and combine it with ideas of former Congressman John Linder and the fair tax. But let's take a listen to this conversation I had 2 years ago with former Republican Congressman from Georgia, John Linder. Former Congressman John Linder served 18 years from Georgia, and he knows about taxes, and he knows our government's going in the wrong direction. The IRS is getting too big. We know, we talked about last week's show, how we need to abolish the IRS. Now, former Congressman John Linder is going to tell us how we replace it.
The thrill is gone. It's gone away from me. The thrill is gone, baby. The thrill is gone away from me.
And the thing that we're talking about, of course, going back and abolishing the IRS, you know, what do we replace it with? You talk about, you know, in the past.
Yeah, I have to say, the value-added tax is very popular in
Europe.
Europe. Now, the problem with Europe is that they've, when they went to value-added tax, they kept the income tax in place at a very low level. And, of course, over time, anytime you start with a little of each, you wind up with a lot of both.
Right.
And, Eric, right now in Europe, they're taxing somewhere in the range of 42% of the total economy. We're taxing about 28, 29 at the federal level. We're taxing more at the state level. We're probably close to 40 right now at all the tax levels. But the value-added tax is a possibility. The reason I'm not supportive of that is it picks winners and losers, because there is a small tax applied at the profit made by every step in the production of an item. If you're producing a car, it's got probably two or three or four thousand steps.
Uh-huh.
Somebody gets steel out of the ground, somebody gets oil out of the ground, somebody turns it into steel, somebody turns it into a bumper, for example. Each step along the way is taxed. And so businesses that are making products that have many intermediate steps in them will pay a much higher tax than the leather industry, for example, which has two or three steps total. Yeah. And so I'm opposed to the value-added tax. I am a big fan of the fair tax.
Well, I know for my listeners, you were the author of the fair tax.
I authored the fair tax and introduced it for the first time in 1999. It has now gotten to the point where it is the largest sponsored tax bill in the probably ever in the Congress with more sponsors. Now the leadership of both houses,
uh-huh,
listen a lot to the folks downtown in the K Street and the lobbyists, because most of them are former employees of theirs.
Right,
people work
know
for
that.
You in the office, and they wind up going downtown, uh-huh, and you keep personal relationships over a long period of time. Washington hates the fair tax. They just hate it, because half of Washington makes a living gaming the tax code.
And that's the lobbyist bread and butter, the tax code.
That's it. And you get rid of that, and you make people voluntary taxpayers. You eliminate a lot of need for lobbyists. In fact, I gave a speech to a group of folks from the accounting groups in Washington once, and uh-huh, one of the guys who worked for one of the accounting firms was a former staff director of Ways and Means. And as we were done, he kind of got my attention. I said, "What is it, Phil?" And he said, "John, just give me a couple more years."
Uh-huh.
He was ready to retire, but he needed two more years of gaming the code. And I laughed at it, because that's what it's all about.
Gaming the code.
And sure. And there's another tax that's been introduced, and that's a gross receipts tax. That is, every company pays a small percentage of their gross receipts. Very little record keeping. My problem with that is that some companies have a 50% profit margin and some have a 3% profit margin.
Right.
And so you have a disparate weighting of the tax code on those industries that have small profit margins. So the fair tax, it comes down to the sales tax, the fair tax, yeah, which eliminates all taxes on income and taxes only personal consumption.
And then what you're saying, the fair tax, it is a sales tax, basically.
It's a national sales tax. If you go into the store, it's a 23% of what you spend will go to the government. If you get a $10 item on the shelf, the tax will be included in the $10. $2.30 goes to the federal government, and the rest goes to the guy who sold you the hammer. Currently, the average income earner gives the government 8% in a payroll tax and 15% on average in their income tax, which is a 23% tax burden. Under the sales tax, you'd have the same 23% tax burden, but you'd only be taxed on what you spend and not on what you save. And you eliminate hundreds of billions of dollars in compliance costs and paperwork.
Break that down a little bit, John. You're talking about the average worker, 8%. You're talking about the Social Security tax they pay?
And the payroll tax is about 8%. Your share is about 8%, 7.65%. And the average income earner pays 15% on the income tax. If you're paying 20% in income tax, it's a whole lot cheaper. But you, in addition, the fair tax also provides to every household, rich or poor, we're not going to know how much money you have or how much you make on the fair tax. Every household gets a distribution at the beginning of every month that would totally untax them up to poverty level spending. Poverty level spending is defined as that spending necessary for a given sized household to buy its necessities. So you're effectively untaxing necessities. Beyond that, we're all pay the same.
See, now, what you just said, so many people who, and especially those that are progressive or liberal, they seem to don't like the fair tax, but and yet this is probably the fairest way to help the poor people across the country when you put this tax in effect.
It's actually more progressive with that prebate than the current tax code is.
And what you're saying is, I mean, everybody, you wouldn't even worry. They wouldn't have to file papers for income because everybody would get it.
George Mason University has a business section, and they did a study and concluded that on an annual basis, every year we spend between $500 billion and $1 trillion just complying with the code and doing paperwork.
Oh, I can certainly see that. I mean,
well, it only brings in $2 trillion. If we spend $1 trillion just to send in $2 trillion, that isn't inefficient. That is stupid. We should just end that tomorrow.
And that is the IRS system, correct?
That's correct.
And
you have big businesses in this country. I remember being in Houston and seeing a big, I think it was Exxon, a whole building of Exxon people, and one or two floors was for IRS people who lived there. They spent their whole time there. They used their... They just spent their time at Exxon because they oversaw Exxon's tax situation, and they negotiated everything they did. Now, that goes on all across America.
Hmm.
With big taxpayers, they have IRS people live with them. Under this system, the prices would drop dramatically because we had a study done by Harvard. Dale Jorgensen, who was the head of the economics at the time in Harvard,
right,
concluded that on average, 22% of what you currently pay represents the embedded cost of the IRS. You're paying the income taxes, the payroll taxes, and the accountants and attorneys to avoid the taxes of every one of those thousands of companies it takes to bring a loaf of bread to your table.
Mm. I mean, it's very frustrating to hear, and people like to hear the words abolish the IRS, but they're so afraid what would happen, and yet you can see how inefficient the whole system is. Like you said, you pay $500 billion to $1 trillion just to bring in $2 trillion. That is so highly inefficient, but people are not hearing that part of the story, I guess because the lobbyists, their bread and butter is the tax code.
Well, the people aren't getting the honesty from, you know, we still read papers from time to time. Somehow, but it's getting to the people over time, because now when you see polls, an increasing number of people, now I think the majority, want to get rid of the IRS. And more people are looking at sales tax. When I started this out in 1999, no one had ever heard of it.
Right.
But it's built, we have fair tax as organizations in about 40 states right now. Mississippi has a good organization of fair taxes. And I'm convinced that in time it's the only one that can replace the system because it's already in place. 45 states are already collecting the sales tax. And under the fair tax bill, you would pay the states to collect it for the federal government. So you would have an agency in the Treasury Department that would audit the states from time to time, just go around and make sure they're collecting all the federal government is due. But it would be a system of collection divided up to 50 states, and you wouldn't have a central organizing group that could abuse the system for political reasons like the IRS currently does.
So you wouldn't be talking about a national, some kind of national control like an IRS. You're talking about the individual states just being monitored.
The states currently collect, 45 of them already collected in sales tax. They just add this to their computer program. And you'd collect, you'd pay the states 25 basis points for collecting it, and you'd give the retailer 25 basis points for collecting it for you.
So they, you'd have that built in as far as collections right
That's
there.
Built into the system.
Now, one of the things that really concerns a lot of people, and I'll say a lot of people who love the Democratic Party and are independents, but in the minority communities, is again, going back and what you explain one more time, how even those in poverty are helped by the fair tax. Could you go over that one more time?
They're helped a couple of ways. First of all, the 22% embedded cost of the IRS will be driven onto the cost system.
Uh-huh.
And so prices will go down. Secondly, you can spend up to the poverty level with no tax consequences whatsoever with your pre-bid. For a family of four, they could spend $31,000 a year and have no tax consequences whatsoever. That's how big their rebate would be.
And that's what you're calling a prebate, correct?
Prebate, because it comes before you spend the money.
Right.
It comes at the beginning every month.
So it would be like getting a check in the mail. Is that what you're talking about?
We're talking about an electric transfer. It might be a debit card. It
right.
might be some kind of a credit card. Who knows?
But it'd be like playing a Monopoly when you go around and collect $200 when you pass go.
That's right. The first every month, you're going to get enough for your family.
And that should ensure those with children and all this be built in. And to me, that would be the most comforting thing, to realize that, you know, you're going to have enough to meet your needs every month. And that means every family.
That's the idea behind it, is to give real break for low-income people not to pay any taxes whatsoever. And then, you know, we've never taxed wealth in this country.
Mm-hmm.
We tax wages. And wealth, the first thing wealthy people do is stop getting wages. The reason...
Now, tell us, break that down a little bit. Why do wealthy people stop getting wages?
Because the tax is too high. They live off capital gains and dividends,
mm-hmm.
which is taxed at a preferred rate. And so they just don't take wages. They don't pay into the. They stop paying into Medicare and Social Security as soon as they can. There's no reason for them to get a wage. That's what Buffett said. His secretary paid a higher percentage of her income than he did. My immediate response to Warren Buffett was, "Well, why don't you write us a check? We'll accept your money if you're embarrassed by how little you're paying. Write a check." He's engaged, as you probably know, on behalf of Berkshire Hathaway's company, in fighting the IRS right now, and has been for 3 years, over $1 billion the IRS says he owes them that he's unwilling to pay.
And then he complains about his secretary having paid more taxes than him.
Yeah, wealthy people always want to do good, but they always want to do it with other people's money.
Well, that's a good point. Say that again. Wealthy people like to do good, but they want to use other people's money.
Yeah.
But going back, just like you said, this is the beauty of the plan that you're talking about, is basically the more you spend, the more taxes you pay. And
that's
if
right.
wealthy people, that would, if they spend a lot, a big house, go get a yacht, whatever they want to do, then they pump money. The more they buy, the more it pumps into the economy. And people ought to like that.
And for me, I'm retired. I paid tax on all my earnings.
Mm-hmm.
I put money away. I've got investments. I get money every month for my investments. So I paid tax on everything I earned, and I'm going to start paying tax again when I spend it.
Right.
But if I don't spend it all, guess who's going to spend it? It's going to get spent. And we need to start thinking in taxes, about taxes in intergenerational terms. If you can't base a tax code on just what is going to affect this person at that point in time, because taxes should be viewed over the lifetime of a family. And I promise you this, those folks are making a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
That money is going to get spent somewhere. It may not be spent by them, but it's going to be spent by their heirs. And if it's not spent, it's going to be given away. We don't put money under mattresses anymore. We either invest it in the economy or we give it away, and it'll be spent.
And when it's spent, it's good for everybody. It's taxed when it's spent, and then that helps promote our country. And I mean, we could even start we could balance the budget and start paying down this national debt with a good system.
We've got to go. There are all kinds of things we have to do about the economy. We cannot continue to survive at 2% growth rates per year, or less than 2%. And I don't know what the average has been since Obama's presidency, but it's probably been less than 2%. Mm. Now, he inherited some of that. I'm not blaming him the whole thing, but you cannot meet our future needs without more economic growth. And the way you grow the economy is to get rid of the tax on productivity and begin to tax what people take out of society instead of what they put into society.
Okay, that's simple. Tax what people...
Stop taxing what people put into society. Start taxing what they take out of it.
That makes common sense, John.
Yep.
You think Washington would go for that?
Well, you don't have to sell Washington. You just have to sell your district right now.
Well, that's exactly what I want to do. Let people know that common sense policies can change this country.
Sure, and the public is ready for huge change. They're ready for big change.
And that was the end of our conversation from a couple years ago. And it's Doc Holliday right back with you here in 2017. And wasn't that conversation just relevant to what we have going on? We can abolish the IRS. We don't need to give up and think we just, you know, not only we have to live with it, but our children and grandchildren. So please realize there's a spark of life in this fire. Let's light the fire and get it going and abolish the IRS. It can be done, folks. Don't give up. Remind your congressmen, remind your senators, and let's say, can we not abolish the IRS? Can we not look at new technology? Tell them to call Doc Holliday. We'll tell them how we can do it. How about that? Now, next week, we got more rock splitting politics coming right at you, and I'll see you then. God bless you. God bless America.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Bedrock Truths, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen, or visit docholliday.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.